for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, July the 2nd, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Right. Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Praise. Lord, we just ask for outpouring of your spirit, Lord God. We ask for an outpouring of your anointing, Lord God. That the anointing will flow down over your people. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord God. The anointing will rot, break, and destroy the yoke, Lord God. We just ask for the anointing to come down now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Set your people free. And all God's folks said, amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about something today we call magic. If you own a Webster's Dictionary, I have one I bought here from Irma 20 years ago. It's called a New College Webster's Dictionary. Second edition, published in 1976. And in that, magic is defined as the ability to control people or certain natural and supernatural forces by supernatural means. That's the first definition of magic. Now, we have magic shows with sleight of hand, but these are fakers. True magic spoken of in the Bible has power. And where in the Word of God does it say that magic has power? Let's look first at Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the head of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people to keep yourselves alive? Will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to your lies? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like flying things. That word bird there means a flying thing. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go free who you hunt like flying things. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall no longer be prey for your hand. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Verse 23 says, therefore you shall no longer practice envision futility nor practice divination. For I will deliver my people out of your hands, and you'll know that I am the Lord. Now there he says that these practitioners of the magic arts are killing people, and they're healing people by use of magic arts. You may think that sounds a little far-fetched, but when I was a small boy, I was raised on a cotton farm in southern Alabama on the edge of the river swamp, and we had a man who lived down the road named Harry. He had a last name, but I won't mention it. And Harry was a hoodoo. And people came to Harry when they were sick. Now, Harry was a master showman. He had a house on the edge of this bayou, this swamp. think we called it a slough, I think was the word used. And it had a log bridge. It came across the slough, and there were these big trees, these big cypress trees and oak trees, and had moss hanging down over them. And you had to walk across this log bridge to get to Harry's house. Well, Harry had a back door he drove up to in his car. But all the customers came across this rather spooky thing, and they came into Harry's house, and Harry had a fireplace there. And he had twigs they'd picked up from the pine trees, little bit of twigs. He'd soaked in the spring that had a lot of phosphate in it and a lot of nitrate and a lot of other types of salts, and we threw these twigs that had been soaked in these springs and dried on the fire. All kind of eerie colored flames popped up. He'd throw a handful of those on there, and the room would be filled with these eerie flames. And he took out a watch that didn't have any case on it. You could see the wheels moving. And he'd look at that, and he'd put some sort of leaf on his head, and he would begin to chant some strange language, which was demonic tongues. And then he would answer the question. The one that I remember so vividly was a man who had lost his billfolder and had his wages in it. And he came in and he gave Harry 50 cents. That was 2 days' wages at that time for a black man. Got paid 2 bits a day. And he got 50, put 50 cents in his hand, and he sat there, and he chanted, and he did this, and he said, "I see you in a vision. You got drunk on shinny last night, and you wandered down the path by the big spring and the big oak tree by the spring. You passed out there. You go back to look behind the tree, and that's where your wallet is." Man went there, and his wallet was there. Matchy. He pointed the box. He showed me the box. The box was a cigar box. Had a bunch of bones in it. Had a bunch of rattlesnake fangs, and I don't know what else was in there. But he shook the box and again spoke in this strange language and pointed it at this person. They died. Dead. Buried. A week later, they were dead. When I was a physician, I went home. And I went by to see a good friend of mine who was practicing medicine there. And he said, "Billy, why don't you go ahead and look at this this girl?" I said, "I don't know what's wrong with her, man. She is really sick. And she just sort of, she looks like she's going to die to me. And I can't seem to do anything for her." And I went down and talked to the family. And the hoodoo had put a hex on her. And my advice for them was go pay the hoodoo to take it off. I'd seen one person die. And they said the hoodoo wanted more money than they had. And we watched that girl die. In spite of all medical science could do, she died. Posted her, could find no poison or nothing wrong with her that we could see. She just died. Magic. Now, that's my testimony that magic exists. Now, magic is divided into three parts, according to Webster's Dictionary. The first part is sorcery. Sorcery involves magical power to control events, supernatural events, natural events, or people by the use of music, talismans, omens, aliments, curses, and drugs. As a matter of fact, the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakomichi, from which we get our modern word pharmacy. Pharmakomichi means a poisoner. Now, if you go to a witchcraft ceremony today, you will find that they burn nightshade leaves. And that has atropine in it. And as you inhale it, it will give you hallucinations. They make potions. Harry made a love potion for this girl. He said this girl wanted to marry this man. And so Harry said, "Bring me part of your menstrual cloth." And so he cut a little piece of the menstrual cloth, had some of the menstrual blood on it. And he put some other stuff in this little thing, mixed it up, said, "Put this in his coffee and give it to him." And she did. And when he drank it, spirit of lust came into him. He had to have that girl, and he married her. That I can speak from experience. I used to carry around in my on my keychain. I don't not anymore. This is a little piece of leather, but I had a round symbol about this big around, made out of sterling silver, had a engraving on it of an old man with a staff. Any of y'all ever carried one of those around to protect you when you're moving? None of y'all ever heard of St. Christopher? None of y'all ever had a St. Christopher's medal? Well, I did. I repented of it. Because I had that, and I said that was going to protect me when I was riding in my car. And there are lots of people who do that today, and they have a statue sitting up there.
That is the truth.
Of this dead man.
Yes, sir.
That is supposed to protect them when they ride down the road. That is a talisman or sorcery. An allument, I told you what an allument or potion is. That's something that you mix up. It's got all kinds of things in it. Norman Parrish tells the time that his church was invaded by witch doctors in Guatemala. And they stole the clock, the drapery, up near the front. They had some drapes in front of the church, stole one of the draperies, and stole an offering basket. They broke in, they stole these items. And he said after a couple of days, they noticed that people began to be late, coming in late for the service. Offerings were falling off. The Spirit of God, but they just couldn't break through and worship like they had. And those were the three things they stole. Something relating to worship, something relating to the alms, or the tithe, and something related to the time. And so they declared a fast and fasted, and one of the elders had a vision of the witch doctors burying it out there by the post, right there across the street. They went out and dug it up, and there it was, all wrapped up. Along with they had a bunch of other stuff in there with it, but it affected the ministry of God's church, the powerful witch doctors. But God is more powerful because they broke it and asked God to bless the witch doctors. And the curses go back on them when you bless them. You know that? When you ask them to be just bless those people, Lord, all those curses go back on them. A curse caster is very careful about who he casts a curse on.
Right.
A curse causeless will not light, it says in Proverbs 28. It won't light unless it's got a cause there. So they investigate very carefully before they cast a curse. Because that curse, if it don't want light, it's going to come back and light on them. Demons hate them just as bad as they hate you. But the devil makes the demons obey those people. They don't obey them because they like them. They obey them because they have to. And they sure don't want them coming back on them. Well, that's sorcery. Gosh, I've gotten a little far here. I didn't mean to get into that much detail. Or that's sorcery. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is the manifesting of supernatural power by a contract with demons. What Webster's Dictionary says. When you go into witchcraft, you make a contract with the demon, usually signed in your blood. And Satan feels like he owns you. And that witchcraft spirit comes into you and considers himself or herself married to you. Yeah. You have possession. To theirs, as far as they're concerned. Now, greater is he who is in you now than he who is in the world.
Amen.
And then the last one is divination. Now, divination is real. It involves familiar spirits and his ability to foretell the future. It gives you knowledge of past events, and the demon can tell you things that are going to happen in the future by being able to manipulate the circumstances to happen. I'll give you an example. I was here one day, and a couple came in and asked us if we'd go pray for someone. They needed somebody to come pray for this man who was in witchcraft very terribly. He wanted prayer. Well, we got over there. He didn't want prayer. He didn't want anything. These people won't even pray for. He didn't want prayer. You know, and God doesn't deliver you from your friends, just your enemies.
Amen.
And so we sat around and we talked and we got ready to leave. And as we were getting ready to the door, he said, "Johnny, you want it on the phone?" phone rang. Joni?
It's for you.
Now, he called it out before it rang. That's called a spirit of precognition, knowing something's going to happen before it happens. And so that's divination. Now, all of these things are forbidden by Scripture, and I want to show you a couple of places in Scripture. Let's look in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 10. I can show you a number of Scriptures, but I'll just show you one or two. In Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 10, start with verse 9. Something here I want you to watch very carefully, but listen. When you come into the land the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations or the detestable acts of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's child sacrifice, abortion in modern terms, or one who practices witchcraft. I told you what witchcraft is. Or a soothsayer. That's a fortune teller. Or one who interprets omens, another type of divination, or a sorcerer. I've told you what sorcery is. Or one who conjures spells. It's a curse caster. Or a medium, one who allows a familiar spirit to come in and talk through them. Or a spiritualist, one who worships spirits. Or one who communicates or calls up or prays to the dead, a necromancer. How many of y'all ever pray to a dead person? You know, we have people who do it all the time. You know, I came out of a sacramental church where they had an altar over here, and they had a bunch of candles in front of it, and you went over and you lit a candle, you know, and then you said a prayer to this dead person. Goes to heal you, protect your relatives. And they had a whole list of these dead folks that you could pray for certain things. And Jesus Christ isn't dead. He's alive. He was raised from the dead.
Amen.
He's alive. He is the only one that's ever been raised from the dead with a resurrection body that lives in heaven. Now, the Pope had a dream here some years ago. And in his vision, in his dream, he saw Mary die, and she was buried, and the apostles all gathered around her grave on the third day, and the angels of heaven came, and Mary rose bodily out of the grave, and the angels of heaven carried her into the where she is now, Mary, Queen of Heaven, Queen of the Universe, co-redeemer with Jesus Christ, and to intercede for you. And that became Catholic doctrine and official Catholic doctrine, and I think around 1956. But the Pope had the vision 700 years ago. And people are deceived, and they pray
to Mary.
To a dead person.
Yes.
It's called necromancy. Out of ignorance, I was raised in that, and I have great empathy for them, and I would not condemn them, because they are not moving from knowledge. They have great zeal. Lots of those people have great zeal for God, but it's not from knowledge. And I pray for them. And I just pray that they get saved, that the Holy Spirit can convict them and draw them in. Just pray that they get saved, that they come to know the Savior. And then the Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them out. I was in a coveted community of Catholics. 100. We were all charismatic Catholics. And we had the gall to believe that we could hear from God without going through the priest. They ran us off our church property. Had two priests who'd gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. They transferred them to one end over here and the other way over here. Never saw them again. I don't know what happened to them. But I have to say this much for the old gentleman. He was an old-fashioned German Catholic. And he believed that you could not hear from God without going through the priest. We were tithers, and we were tithing over $250,000 out of this group. And that didn't stop him from running us off. So I had to, you know, say, gosh, at least he stands on his principle. He didn't let money buy him. And I had to respect the old man. He was wrong, sincerely wrong. but I had to respect him because he had principle. You have to respect principle sometimes, even when it's wrong. When it's desire, real desire to do right, but they're wrong. Okay, where were we? Okay, I'm praying to the dead. Don't pray to the dead folks. Just pray to Jesus. Don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You know there is a protocol in heaven. You know that? If there's a protocol in heaven. There's God the Father, who's on the throne. There's God the Son, who was incarnated as Jesus Christ and came down, was raised from the dead. Then there's God the Holy Spirit. But nowhere in Scripture will you say, pray the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in Scripture will you find that the Holy Spirit glorifies Himself. He says He will glorify Jesus. He will take of mine and glorify me and speak of me. And when you have people that are praying to the Holy Spirit and saying, glorify yourself, I know they aren't being scriptural. That's my own personal opinion. I'll leave it there. But I think that you're violating heavenly protocol when you do that. Praise God. Now that I've made half of you mad, I'll move on. Okay. Now look at verse 12. Now we've talked about these things were abominable acts. Right? Abominations. Now look at verse 12. And all who do these things are an abomination to God. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. So if you do them, you become an abomination. These are abominable acts, but by doing them, you become an abomination. Do you see that? You see that? Okay. Now, I have to stop in and say, you know, I injected that about the Holy Spirit. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that. That's the way I truly feel. But the Holy Spirit isn't dead. I was talking about injected in when I was talking about necromancy. And the Holy Spirit obviously isn't dead and does not fall in the classification of necromancy. And I just want to stop and make that plain. Just that glorify Jesus. You pray to the Father. Jesus did say, if you asked anything, I'll do it for you. There's one verse in there where he says, you can ask me and I'll do it for you, that I can find. Other times he says, pray the Father. And in my name, and we'll do it. We'll send the Holy Spirit to do it. Praise God. Now, let's look at sorcery. Well, let me show you something else while we've got the Scripture here. Look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8:19. It says, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they did not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. The light. Okay. Now let's look at Isaiah 47. You'll have people ask you about the horoscopes. Look at Isaiah 47:13. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what's to come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Anybody ask you about horoscopes? There it is. It says you're going to be burned as stubble if you depend on horoscopes. Horoscopes are spoken of by Paul in speaking of the religious spirits in Colossians and Galatians. You have to understand that the word he uses for elements and principles is the word used to describe the cosmic forces that govern the basic functions of the earth and the movement of the stars. I won't go into it. It'd take me a half an hour to get out of it. But it is the forces that move the zodiacs. These were spiritual forces believed to move the zodiac. And it was the spiritual forces worshipped in the pantheon of the Romans and the Greeks, all their gods, and the Babylonians before them. And he says the beggarly elements. That's what Peter says when he says the elements will be burned up in fire. I thought he was talking about sodium and potassium and chloride. And I find out he's talking about demons. You ought to get your coins out and do a study on principles and elements in the Bible. Just get it out, look up beggarly elements, and get Strong's number and punch it in your computer and see how many places it comes out. Very interesting. Beggarly elements and beggarly principles. Praise God. He's speaking of demon forces, religious spirits that were taking these people back into bondage. Okay. Now, in sorcery, you cast spells. Charms are used. Those are objects to ward off. Drugs, mind-altering drugs are given. Potions. I told you about Harry. Music. You know, there's a certain beat that will call up the demons.
Right.
And it's a basic beat you hear in rock, particularly acid rock, but all rock, including Christian rock.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like saying Christian pornography.
That's good, Brother Don. That's good.
What does Christian pornography look like, huh? Well, that's Christian rock. Praise God. It calls up the demons. It dulls the mind. Opens you. Talismans. I told you what a talisman is. That was that St. Christopher's medal I carried around. Oh, people have other kind of medals they wear around the neck that are supposed to protect them. Supposed to protect them. They have one supposed to, they hold up like this, is supposed to ward off the vampires. And the werewolves. Praise you, Lord. You know what wards off the werewolves and the vampires? The name of Jesus. And in His power. If you're a believer, then you are authorized to use His name.
Amen.
To that portion to which you walk in the Spirit and have fellowship one with, you walk in the light and have fellowship one with another, that portion, that is the amount that you power you have. Or another way of putting it, in the name of Jesus. The name is twofold. First, you know what the name is. The name indicates the character.
Yes.
In Hebrew, the name indicates the character. God came down before Moses and declared His name. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, kind, full of goodness and mercy, forgiving sin, iniquity, and transgression. But by no means clearing the guilty, punishing the children for the father's sin to the third and the fourth generation. That's in Exodus 34. That's the character of God. That's His name. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you're invoking the authority behind it. The name indicates the authority and the character. Okay. You have as much authority as you have character. How much of the character are you walking in Jesus? How much of Jesus' character is showing forth in your life? That's how much authority you have. What happened to the sons of Sceva? Are y'all familiar with the sons of Sceva? Does anybody in here know who the sons of Sceva were? Hold up your hands if you know who the sons were. Some folks don't know. Okay, let's look in Acts. Acts 18 and 19, somewhere along there, in Ephesus, 19. Acts 19, 14. There were seven sons of Sceva. Well, let's see, let's go back up here a little bit to 13. Now, Paul, God worked unusual miracles at the hand of Paul. So even handkerchiefs or prayer cloths, and we give out prayer cloths now, our aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who, having spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the evil spirit and some seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief, did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know about. Who are you?"
Yes, sir.
And then the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, they fled out of the house wounded and naked. And so you want to be like the sons of Sceva. They were unbelievers. They just knew the name had power. You're a believer, and you're walking as the best you can, and earnestly desiring to follow him, God knows your heart, then that's how much authority you've got. But if you're walking in sin, and robbing orphans and cheating widows, and walking in the world, because James said pure religion is number one, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and number two, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Okay. If you're doing that, you're reflecting the character of Jesus Christ. But if you're out there cheating widows and stealing from orphans and walking in the world and you just evoke the name of Jesus, you know about how much authority that word has. We'll go on. You're like the son of Sceva then. Okay, so talismans and fetishes. And fetishes is something that's supposed to have magical power. Now, the talisman, I want to talk about talisman a little bit. Jewelry, you have religious medals. You have a medal that's a picture of Tamaris and a baby. It's the mother-child worship that started in Babylon.
Right.
It predated Christianity a couple thousand years. And that is also, you'll also find it in Hindu and the Buddhist religions. The mother-child worship. And you got a medal that's got a picture of a mother and a child on it. And do you know something? There is not one thing in religious or secular literature anywhere that tells you what Jesus Christ looked like, not even the color of his hair.
Right.
Or Mary or the baby. And so all this is somebody's conception.
Right.
Vatican Museum, there are some 1,500 different conceptions of Christ. They're all idolatry. Because nobody has any idea. If God wanted you to know what he looked like, he'd have put it in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
So you got that. You got Tamaris and the baby. You got the St. Christopher's medal. You got the Mexican sun god. You got the Buddha. Those are all talismans. They're idols. They have demon power. Irma tells a story of the young baby who would wake up in the middle of the night screaming, "It's him! It's him!" and scream. 1 year old, 2 years old. And these parents couldn't figure out what is wrong with their baby. And so she went over there, and what they had this big, beautiful Buddha that they bought in Saigon for $2,500. Had a value of $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 in this country, sitting in the house in there. And what was happening at night, a demon was coming out of that thing and terrifying the baby, giving the baby what is technically known in medicine as night terrors. To make a long story short, they got rid of it, and night terrors stopped. Once I had a lady who, a child kept waking up at night and waking up and screaming and screaming. And so I sat down and I talked to her, and she was a born-again Christian. And I talked to her, and she was Hispanic, but she had some cultural objects in her home, one of which was the Mexican sun god, the Aztec calendar, which shows the sun sticking his tongue out with all his symbols for the phases of the moon and so forth around it. And I told her to get rid of those things, to get all that stuff out of the house, because I thought there were evil spirits coming out tormenting her baby at night. So she goes down to the health department where I'm public health officer, and they say, "How is she doing?" I said, "She's doing wonderful." "Doc, no, I don't know what to do. He told me to get this," and she named all those things and said there were demons coming out of them and terrorizing my baby. So I arrived that afternoon, and then I tell you, they were waiting on me. "Doc, no, did you really say?" I said, "I sure did." They said, "What?" "Well, but. I said, "It's true." I said, "You got a better exclamation for night terrors?" "Well, we thought maybe she'd have an indigestion or something. We going to give her." I said, "Yeah, you're going to give her a bunch of dope." I said, "I got rid of the cause." And they just and went on back to work. But you know, they never laughed at me again. Girl came back and said, "I'm doing fine, eating, sleeping well, and it's all gone." I had one case of colic, of night colic, that got cured by taking the Mexican sun god out of the house. Demons can live in those things and come out. What should you do with them when you have them? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. You know, Glenn, we'd be here at 10 o'clock if I can speed up things.
You're doing fine.
Hallelujah. Well, here we go. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. It says, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and abhor it, for it is an accursed thing." Now that doomed to destruction sometimes is translated, "lest you become an accursed object like it." Now you become an abomination when you do the abomination. When you bring the accursed thing into your house, you become an accursed thing before God. An accursed thing is something that's doomed to destruction. You become it. And he said, "You shall not sell the gold or silver on it." These people want to sell the Buddha. Burma said, "No, you can't do that." He said, "What's wrong?" "Well, we've got money." And he said, "What are you going to do? You're going to give that demon to somebody else? Violate God's law, can come back and torment you." What they did was they moved it out in the garage. And it was attached from the house. It stayed out in the garage. But when they went out there, it attacked the man. And they eventually dug a big hole and buried him.
Well, that didn't work. They finally took a sledgehammer and broke it up.
Yeah, praise God. Anyway, now, if you got one of them little Italian horns, look like a little thing, little wiggly thing that hangs around your neck, you know, look like a staff with a little wiggly thing around it. It's called an Italian horn. Also called a leprechaun staff or unicorn horn. Know y'all ever wear one of those? That means that you depend on the devil for your money. The devil guards your finances. And you got a copper ring, got good luck charms, four-leaf clovers, rabbit's feet, horseshoes, wishbone, lucky penny, other good luck charms. You know who luck is? Luck is the Babylonian, Egyptian god of good fortune. Yeah. When you say good luck to somebody, you're blessing them with a foreign god. You're supposed to say, "The Lord Jesus Christ bless you." How many of y'all say good luck? I don't say good luck to anybody. Anybody say good luck to me, I say, I don't worship no foreign gods. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to bless me. I don't want luck.
Amen. Amen.
All right. All those things are common part of our culture. But they are talisman from sorcery and abomination to the Lord your God. You need to get rid of them. Get them out of your house. You need to burn them with fire. You can't burn them with fire, wrap them up in the plastic bag and another bag and stick them in the garbage and let them go to the dump and get buried. Got copper rings, bracelets, necklaces is going to bring healing and luck. Got a hexagram. Know what a hexagram is? It's a six-pointed star. What does hex mean? It's a curse. When a witch casting a curse, she stands in the middle of a hexagram. She's calling up a demon, she stands in the middle of a pentagram, or she puts a pentagram down, and the demon will come up in it. It's where they protect themselves. What's a pentagram? It's a five-pointed star with a circle around it. That's an ancient witchcraft symbol. You got a six-pointed star called a Star of David. That's an ancient witchcraft symbol. You need to get rid of it. David never saw the hexagram. It came into the Zionist movement in the early 1800s. It's on the Israel flag today. But it is a witchcraft symbol. It was used by Kabbalah in the Middle Ages. What is Kabbalah? It's Jewish witchcraft. It's practiced today. I hear advertisements on the radio. The Kabbalah group is going to meet. Come and we will train you in Kabbalah. The ancient mystic Judaism. It's Jewish witchcraft. They use the hexagram. Zodiac symbols. You got zodiac symbols in your house? I've already told you about zodiac. You're going to be burned like a stubble. You keep that stuff around. Going to depend on the stars to protect you. You got an Egyptian ankara? You know what an Egyptian ankara is? It's a cross, got a little loop on the top, you know. A lot of folks wear them, they think it's nice. They have a cross and they have a little loop right on top of it. And the chain go right through it. That's a fertility symbol. Brings lust into your life. Got a heart symbol, Cupid and an arrow. Who was Cupid? Cupid worked for the Roman god of love, Venus. Cupid pulled out the bow and he shot you with the arrow, which is a phallic symbol, which pierced the heart, which is another sexual symbol. He shot the, pierced the heart. Okay. You wear jade? You believe it's part of the soul? You believe if you wear jade long enough, it'll become part of your soul? And when you people go away, you give them part of your jade, and they take part of you with them? And that's an Oriental custom. I'm afraid that I was used to wear jade and give it away. I thought it was cute custom. You seen the peace symbol with the cross? It's the broken cross upside down. It's another witchcraft symbol. The eye of Ram, the eye of Athena, the eye of Horus. I don't have one. I don't have a dollar bill, but it's on the dollar bill.
Right.
You'll see, you'll find it in the Masons, too. And you call the all-seeing eye. That's another talisman or sorcery symbol.
Right.
Got all kind of Masonic and large symbols, birthstones. Got fraternity and sorority symbols. I was in a fraternity. And I really enjoyed being in the fraternity. And I liked it. I was accepted there. I had fought rejection all my life. And those boys accepted me. And I couldn't believe that fraternity was demonic. And I asked God, I said, God, show me why that was demonic. And he carried me back to the initiation ceremony. And I remembered that they put me in this room and I had my shorts on. They put this sheet over me, you know, like a toga. And they put chain around me. And they had you hoodwinked. And they took you from station to station. And when they got to the last station, said, now the fellowship, the name of the fraternity, breaks the chains of bondage. And they had a trace chain around me. Y'all know what a trace chain is? You know, it's something we use when we plow. It was a piece of chain. Anyway, they had a chain around me. It was tied together with a string. They cut the string and the chain fell off. And God said to me, who set you free from bondage? I said, Jesus Christ sets me free from bondage, not to that fraternity. So I broke allegiance to it. I had a young lady here once, and she wept and cried. Because she, like I, had always been rejected, and these people accepted her and took her in and loved her. And I kept saying, and she just could not bring herself to renounce that. And I said, well, let's look at it this way. Let me lead you in a prayer. That anything that is ungodly in that relationship will be broken. And she said, well, she'll do that. And she said, this voice in me says, no, no, no. I said, well, that ought to tell you something. That's the demon that didn't want to come out.
Right.
And that demon came out. See, it doesn't mean that you can't have a relationship with these girls, but you just have to break that demonic bondage that came forth in the witchcraft of the initiation ceremony with all the candle lighting and all the pledges and all the reading from the Bible. See, the devil, did you know that a curse caster uses a Bible to cast curses? The perfect curse is Psalm 109. It doesn't leave anything unturned. But God says that Christians aren't supposed to curse. He says you're supposed to bless, don't curse. I have people tell me that they pray imprecatory prayers. That's a curse on people that are plaguing them and out of the way. These other people are the people of the devil, and they are praying. I said, God, I said, you know, you have to be very, 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 very careful. You make sure that God is leading you. Because God, the Scripture says, don't curse, bless. Amen. And she says it over and over again. So I'd be very careful with imprecatory prayers. Crystals, New Age uses crystals, pyramids, hex signs. Need to look on in your bathroom, on your towels and your washcloths. Eastern star signs. All those things. Those are talismans. And they're used in sorcery, and they bring a curse on you. Now, witchcraft is when you make a covenant with a demon. Now, frankly, lots of times you don't know it's a demon. You think it's the Holy Spirit. It's a familiar spirit. And I never really understood what a familiar spirit was. I read every book I could find, and I couldn't find an adequate definition of familiar spirit. I knew that people who turned the cards and who read palms and things like that had a familiar spirit. But you know the term familiar spirit doesn't occur in the New Testament, only in the Old Testament. And I was praying one night, and I was fasting and praying, and I was trying to understand witchcraft and trying to understand familiar spirits. And I said, Lord, show me what a familiar spirit is. I got ready to go to bed, and an audible voice out of the darkness says, a familiar spirit is. And that's as far as I let it get. It's a supernatural occurrence. I said, you will acknowledge now that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, or you will be gone. Now that is 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, don't believe every spirit, but any spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh,
yes,
is of God.
Yes.
Amen.
And the voice said, Jesus Christ, my Lord, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. A familiar spirit is. A spirit that is familiar with you. And a spirit that you are familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. So why is it not in the New Testament? Why only in the Old Testament? It said every spirit-filled Christian has a familiar spirit through which they can manifest supernatural power. And that spirit is the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you should be able to manifest supernatural power given by God. For each of you has a spiritual gift. Each one of you has a spiritual gift through which you can manifest supernatural power. All the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. Those are the gifts that Jesus Christ used for every miracle he performed. He never used any special power because he was God. He emptied himself out. And he did not perform any type of sign until he had been baptized and the Holy Spirit had filled him with the Holy Ghost in his baptism. Then he manifested supernatural power. And he says, greater things that I've done, said, you'll do greater things when I've gone to the Father.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. So they do it through a familiar spirit. It's one that they're familiar with, that they can manifest supernatural power. Now, a witch, my great-great-great-grandfather was a Choctaw Indian shaman, witch doctor. And he sold my soul to the devil for his supernatural power. Or so Brother Weeks told me. He picked me out of the crowd, meeting just like this, and he said, you. As your great-great-great-grandfather was a Choctaw Indian shaman, he sold your soul to the devil for his supernatural power. You want to be free? It's basically what he said. He didn't know me from Adam. I stood up and said, yes, sir. And I got free. And that was the day that the nurses at the hospital said, next day, 3 days, two, 3 days later, they said, what's happened to you, Dr. Knox? I said, what do you mean? He said, you're different. You're not like you were last week. You're a different person. You've changed. What happened? So I had the devil cast out of me. And you know what they said? We believe it. And so, and frequently, a witch, a black witch, in a coven. I won't go into the ceremony and so forth, but they will sign a covenant made in blood. Now, is there any other kind of witchcraft? Oh, you better bet there is. Mr. Barton, who's done an extensive study on Jezebel, the names of Jezebel, which I'd recommend her book to all of you who haven't read it, says she has ministered exclusively on Jezebel. It's been her ministry for the last several years. And she said she believed that every woman has some Jezebel on her. That Jezebel spirits are like dogs. You know, you walk up on the porch, you know, and this dog is, you know, I was raised in the South where the porch is about this high off the ground, you know. You had to go up the steps and go in, and the porch was, and the dog would be up on the porch barking at you, and you couldn't tell what it was. This dog is making all that kind of racket down there, and you don't know whether it's a little bitty feist dog will run out and bark at you, or whether it's going to be one of them pit bulls that's going to come up and tear you to pieces. Dogs, is, you know, you just say a few pit bulls and Waltrimers in the Jezebel realm that will just tear you to pieces. And there are a lot of them that will all bark and no bite. But they will manipulate people, bend them to the will, to that woman's will.
Right.
They will manipulate circumstances. They will use guilt. They will use guilt. They will use shame. They will use money, they will use prestige, they'll use sexual prowess, all sorts of things to control people around them. Jezebels, witchcraft, to impose their will on somebody else. They're witches. And they have this type all the way down to the dedicated Satan worshiper who is into witchcraft, who worships the devil. And they have familiar spirits that come into them. There are lots of different spirits come into them. Frequently, if you're born into a witchcraft family, the coven will gather around you, around the mother when she's 3 months pregnant, and they will place a witchcraft spirit into that child. They will do it again at the 7th month and then at the dedication, depending on the cover and depending on a number of factors. But at least once, sometimes as many as 3 times. And then as that child grows up, they pick up other spirits. And they have layers and layers of demons in them who think they own them. But you know, God is gracious. God is gracious. I've ministered to lots of people who've been in covens, who've been in witchcraft, who've been married to witches and didn't know it, been married to male warlocks, who's a wizard, a warlock, and didn't know it, and who had their children, had their babies taken to these ceremonies and used for sexual ceremonies and all sorts of things. I don't talk about that because, but that happens. And that is witchcraft. Now let's look at divination. You know, mothers can control their husbands, can control their children. Fathers, let's look at witchcraft this way. Witchcraft is dominating someone else. Women, because they are smaller and less strong physically, will use manipulation. Men, because they are bigger and have more strength, will use domination. Or intimidation. They will intimidate. I had one man I ministered to. He looked like he's big enough to be a play fullback for the Green Bay Packers. I had him sit in chair and put my hands on his head. And he had anger. He wanted to get rid of his anger. And I said, do you realize, of course, that you need to get rid of witchcraft? Because all you got to do is act like you can get angry and people will give you your way because you're so big they're scared to death of you. He said, yeah, I've always got my way that way. Just start acting mad, and folks will back off. Man, don't make him mad at you. Ooh, God. Man, he's big enough, he'd break your neck. And so men tend to use intimidation, women use manipulation, but the end result is domination. That's witchcraft. And man will use his spirit of anger, rage and anger, to intimidate. Women will use other things. Okay. Now, let's look at divination. Divination, witchcraft and sorcery involve power. Divination involves knowledge, but remember, knowledge is power. We're talking about power, but knowledge is power. We're talking about divination now. Divination. A man's always had an instinctive curiosity to know. This contributed to the original fall on the tree of knowledge. In magazines, you'll see ads offering membership in organizations who give you power and knowledge, which has been hidden by the rich and the powerful. So common folks can't have it. But we got it, and we're going to sell it to you. The shaman, the witch doctor, the medicine man, the kahunta, the charmer, still hold places in society, particularly in primitive societies. Many non-Christian societies. The use of familiar spirits or spirits to obtain knowledge, to bend other people to your will or control events is the basis of the occult. We talked about a familiar spirit. Let's look at that in the Bible. Turn to Ecclesiastes. That's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. I want you to notice this is a two-part thing here. Number one, it says, do not curse the king even in your thought. Why is that? Paul said, you shall not speak evil of the leader of your people. That's in Deuteronomy. It says, you shall not curse the leader of your people. And Paul, when he rebuked the high priest, when he stood before the Sanhedrin and was arrested in Jerusalem, he said, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. He said, man, you revived God's high priest. And Paul said, I didn't know he was a high priest. For it's written, you shall not speak evil of the leader of your people. I'm sorry. He repented immediately. Okay. And so it's not even your thought, because God knows your thoughts. Don't curse the king even in your thought. Now the next part says, don't curse the rich even in your bedroom. For the bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. Now, that bird there, that was my mother's little birdie that she had all over town. I never got away with anything, you know. My little birdie tells me, Billy, that you have something to tell me. Yes, oh, God. What is it, Mother? Well, I think maybe you better ought to tell me. And you're wondering which one she knows about, you know. And you might fess up the wrong thing. That's very interesting, Billy, but that's not what the little birdie was talking about. And, well, then you just shut up and take your spanking. But the birdie there is a familiar, is a flying thing. Just like in Ezekiel 13, it is a flying thing. It's a spirit. That's the familiar spirit that surrounds you and familiar with you. And when you speak it forth out into the sound waves, he hears it. And then he tells the other bird of the air that's taking it upstairs to report it in the second heaven, to be recorded against you. Just like God keeps books, every idle word that you say, you will be judged by. Matthew 10:28. It says in Revelation that the books were opened, and then the book of life was opened. There are more than one set of books. And you're going to stand before God and be judged by every idle word that you say that you have not put under the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that. And so, you see, those are familiar spirits. Now, what happens is, when you go to the card layer for the fortune teller, and she looks at your palm and begins to tell you about your past life, what's happening? Well, she has a familiar spirit and that familiar spirit is talking to your familiar spirit. And your familiar spirit is giving her familiar spirit the lowdown on you, which in turn tells her. And she speaks it forth. And you say, man, oh, boy, she's really. And what happens when the false prophet comes up to you and gives you a word from God and tells you about what happened last night? You say, well, it has to be God because she couldn't have known that any other way. Don't you believe that?
Right, right.
Don't you believe that? A witch can know. Remember that the girl with the spirit of divination could accurately foretell the future, for she made much money for her masters. And when they cast the demon out, she couldn't do it anymore. They knew that their hope of making money was gone. Now, can the demons foretell the future? They can foretell events that they can manipulate. Derek Prince tells the time he was ministering to a woman who had moved in divination. And he was praying for her. And when he got through, this woman stopped and said, Brother Prince, I see a vision. I see you having a car wreck and getting killed on the way home. And he said, I reject that divination spirit right now. You spirit of divination, you come out of her. I reject that vision. I'm not going to be in a car wreck, and I am not going to get killed on the way home. He rejected it immediately. If he had accepted it, oh, God, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, somebody help me. I can't go home tonight because I'm going to have a car wreck and get killed. It come to pass. It would have set the demons in motion to bring that to pass.
Right.
But he said, no, the angel of the Lord are going to protect me. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. And that's divination. Now, the cult was revived in England about 150 years ago with the spiritualist church, and 60, 70 years ago it exploded in this, it came into this country, exploded in the last 30 years. You have spiritualist churches, you have Christian Science, you have hypnosis, you have the New Age, you have mind control, you have yoga, you have transcendental meditation, and you have the passive mind. All those things. Now, you have the Shishan sticks, that's Chinese fiddlesticks that you throw down and look at the pattern. You have the tea leaves that people will look at. You have the card layers. You have the tarot cards. You have the crystal ball. You have dowsing, or better known as water witching. Table tipping. You know what a table tipping is? You take a table and you put a book on the diagonal across. You put books on the legs so it'll bounce back and forth. And you ask it a question. Goes that way, yes. Goes this way, no. It'll move by itself back and forth. Just like the Ouija board. It's got a spirit that's moving it. You do that. You hope you have a good time. You've cursed yourself, cursed your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Hope you had a good time doing it because you've cursed your family for four generations and you've got a familiar spirit that's come into you. Ever seen a Ouija board? Don't know what a Ouija board is. Well, it's got a little pallet that moves and spells out things when you answer questions. Spirit of the Ouija. I can guarantee you if I took it to my Bible study and had the Ouija person set up the board, all my Bible study and I had taught them on this would be there like this because they want to see it move. And they'd pick up that Ouija spirit because that's human curiosity. God says you're not supposed to do that. But that's the flesh. Okay? You have the pendulum. You have water witching. You have Mary Worth and table lifting. You know what Mary Worth is? Mary Worth, stand in front of the mirror and say, Mary Worth, 13 times. There's other words you can use too. The demon will appear in the mirror. The friend of mine from Minnesota said the girls were having a little slumber party and they got out the mirror and played Mary Worth and the demon came out of the mirror and played the piano for them. That's no big deal. All spiritualist churches have a spirit to play the piano for them. And then he went into one of the 15-year-old girls. She got up immediately and left. Disappeared. Her parents, they tell her parents, said, yeah, I saw Jenny down on the... And they name her rough streets in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And she was down in the rough part of town. And they'd get reports that somebody had seen her on the street. She was whoring on the street. She'd been there 2 years when they contacted Merle, and he had a prayer meeting, and they fasted for 3 days, and God brought that girl out, brought her home. And they cast this demon out of her. And she said what had happened was that when that spirit came into her, it's like she trained all her life to be a whore. She went down to the roughest part of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and attached herself to a pimp. And she whored on the street for 2 years until God brought her out. The sad part of the story is that her father was a vice president for a large national corporation. They belonged to a large charismatic church. And no one would allow their children within 10 feet of them. I'm not going to let my daughter associate with somebody been a whore on the street for 2 years. They had to move to California and start over again. That's a sad commentary on the church. Automatic drawing, Mary Worth, pendulum, spin the bottle, gambling, seances, pendulums. I walked into the emergency room, and there weren't anybody around. I said, and it was the ward clerk was out there, and I said, "Where is everybody?" And they said, "Oh," and they named this nurse, "is doing a witchcraft." I said, "What's she doing?" So, well, whenever we got a pregnant lady, she straightens out a paper clip and ties a string on it, and she holds it up over the body, and if the little end points to the head, it's a boy; to the feet, it's a girl. Works every time, Doctor. No. I said, yeah. It's called a pendulum. And it's a witchcraft. You're absolutely correct. It is witchcraft. And it bears a curse for 4 generations. You been in and watch it? Yeah. You cursed your family. You cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Everybody else does that. That's even in the room. And she says, and she left. That lady would never speak to me again. I saw her. Oh, some years later, and all her hair was out, and she looked like warmed over death. What happened? She said, "I got cancer." Play with the devil. You know, the devil treats his people real bad.
Yes, he does.
Even those people who are committed to him.
Yep.
They wind up in the insane asylum 2 or 3 times. They have cancer 3 or 4 times. He treats his people really bad. I mean, people who are doing his will and committed to him. How much more he wants to treat you worse. All right, clairvoyance, that's just be able to, you hear about the clairvoyants who have visions and perceive things that have happened, you know, somebody got murdered and the clairvoyant says, yes, I see it and this is what the man looks like. Extrasensory perception, precognition, I told you what that was. Handwriting analysis, stargazing, astrology, horoscopes, zodiac, hypnosis, mind reading. Hypnosis. How does hypnosis work? Well, that person has a familiar witchcraft spirit. You submit to them, that spirit comes into you. The more you submit to it, the more authority you give that spirit over you. And it comes in and it takes more and more control. That's the reason they call it going deeper. You got to go real deep if you're going to be operated on. I mean, we're going to cure your cigarette habit. We're going to cure your obesity. We're going to cure your nail biting. Y'all ever see these advertisements? Come get cured. Come get a demon. You already got a demon from smoking, a nail biting. Come get another one. I mean, this will be a good one for you. Huh? Get rid of the old one. Get a new one. Well, that's what a Christian Science practitioner does. Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. Mary Baker Eddy said, she in her book, she called it the ridiculous blood of Jesus Christ. She said it is more officious than the blood of a goat or a pig. Read her works. That's what she says. I don't recommend you go read them. I just don't have her books in your house. Now, you have to understand Christian Science practitioners are fine people. They are people who are trying to help people. I mean, they are dedicated, strong-minded people who will take demons into themselves. Take your demon into them. Of course, you know, you got bad headaches, you know. They take that headache demon and give you a lung cancer. Cure your headache. You got lung cancer in about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, old Bill over here, he got stomachache, you know. Well, that's a bad demon. That might be a good one for you. Yeah, Bill, you take this one. He got the headaches. He done got rid of stomach for him, and now he's got migraine headaches. The devil always treats up. But, I mean, they don't know this. They think they're helping people. I had no people at Divine Wards. Ward Diviner? Witchcraft? Praise God. There's no such thing as a will. Praise God. Then there are all kind of, you can use astral projection, soul travel, thought projection. All of these things are real. Project your thoughts into someone else. Communicate with someone else through thought travel. Project yourself back into a room and materialize there. You want to know if you've left the TV on. Well, you think about it. Visualize that room. See that TV set. Then visualize yourself in there and turn the TV set off. It happens, people. They are all witches that have that kind of concentration and power. I can tell you about it. And I say to you that all that comes as a price, because the devil owns you. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. And you will find that word witchcraft there, that bitterness and rebellion, same root. You're in witchcraft, you will become rebellious, you will become bitter. It'll happen to you. And with your bitterness will come anger, rage, and retaliation and murder. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, I think it's time to stop. I could go on for another hour, but I think it's time to stop. I want everybody to stand up a little bit and let's praise God. It is said that you can only absorb what the frame will only absorb what the fanny can endure. I want you to... And let's praise him a little bit. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Go on, praise him, people. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise your name. For you have ordained praise that you might silence the voice of the enemy and the accuser. Silence the devil. Praise your Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your Lord. Now, I'm going to pray for people. We're going to have what's called a mass deliverance service. How many of y'all have never been in a mass deliverance service? How many of y'all have been in a mass deliverance service? Okay. For those of you who have not been in a mass deliverance service, let me tell you that demons are spirit beings. And the word for spirit being is air, pneuma, a wind, raka. And they come out as wind, or air. They come out through your nose, through your mouth, come out through your ears, come out some other body orifices sometimes. I want you, when we get through, I'm going to have you sit down. I want you to sit down and put both feet on the floor. Don't cross your legs. You remember when you were a little kid, you said you cross your fingers, you never tell the truth? And nobody ever done that but me. That's a witchcraft symbol. You cross your fingers, you don't have to tell the truth. Cross your toes, cross your legs. Okay, you cross your legs, the devil feels like he don't have to believe you. That's legalism. But the devil is an expert in legalism when it comes to trapping you. He's an expert. And so you put both feet flat on the floor, and you listen to what I say. I don't want you to pray. You cannot receive and give out at the same time. I don't want you to pray. I don't want you to pray in tongues. I don't want you to sit and praise, say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, because the demons ain't coming out over that. I want you to sit and breathe, take a deep breath, and exhale, and come against it in your mind. Set your will against it. And push like you're going to have a baby. Woman will tell you, you got to push to have the baby. If you don't push, it ain't coming. And getting demons out's a lot like having pushing that baby out. You got to set your will against it and say, push. Okay. Say, dear Lord, I love you.
I love you.
I believe that Jesus Christ
of
Nazareth
was
the Son of God.
He was manifested
in the flesh.
He is the Son of God.
Was manifested in the flesh.
Died on the cross
for my sin.
Was raised from the dead
for my justification.
He ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
Ever making intercession
for me.
Jesus Christ
has adopted me
into the family of God.
God is my Father.
Jesus is my big brother.
I have been translated
out of the kingdom of darkness
into the kingdom
of the Son of His love.
I am a sojourner.
A pilgrim
in this world.
I am an ambassador
for the Most High God.
I thank you, Lord,
that I can call
all the armed forces
of the kingdom of heaven
to my defense
as an ambassador of God.
Lord Jesus,
I confess
that in the past
my ancestors
have been involved
in the occult practices,
in whoredom,
in idolatry,
in incest,
fornication,
illegitimacy,
returning evil for good.
I break the curse
on me
and my lineal descendants forever.
For your word says
in Galatians,
Jesus was made a curse for me
that I might be delivered
from the curse of the law.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I break
any curses
spoken against me
from any source
in the name of Jesus.
I rebuke
and break
any ungodly covenants
or vows
I have ever made
to any other God
in the name of Jesus.
I rebuke
and set myself free
from any covenants,
contracts
that I have signed
that are contrary to the will of God.
In the name of Jesus,
I have died.
These contracts do not concern me anymore.
I have been raised from the dead
with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
I am free from the bondage of sin.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
I confess
that I am not married to the demons.
That I am the bride of Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.